Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you, too.
I already saw you once this afternoon.
Oh, that's right.
You are joining We the People Radio. And I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob does all the music, just so you can differentiate between Bob and Bill.
I can sing a few bars, but
Bill and Aaron are on the dumb side of the table. We just talk.
We don't push buttons, nope. And we don't do music.
We don't get to talk or touch anything important. So we're having a little chaos here at the start because a lot of people are calling to listen to the program over the phone, but we only have one call in line. So
one call in line available.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do for those folks,
and just to be clear, you don't call in to listen to the show. That's not how it works.
Right. So, and I guess if we had unlimited lines, you could, but we don't. So for those folks, if you've shared that with someone and told them to call in, no panic. When they call, we're going to get their name and number and then figure out how to send them a CD of the program if they do not know how to listen online or don't have that capacity.
How do you listen online?
But if they do, that's the easiest way. Go to wethepeopleradio.us and just click on This Week. It's very, very straightforward. We've got everything pretty necked down. It's not a complicated site. So
if you want to listen to it live as it's happening, you can go to kcnr1460.com and click on Listen Live.
Right, but they can listen live this way, too. And they can get all the information about Jim. So our Bill has information about our sponsor. Sorry.
Don't cut me off on my sponsor spot. Come on now.
Sorry.
Powerhouse Solar is our sponsor this hour. Bruce and Sue Blake down there will give you a great deal on all your solar needs. And their goal is to reduce your energy costs. And you get a hold of them with a telephone at 530-275-5600, or you can get them online at powerhousesolar.com.
They've been around for a long time, and they know what they're doing.
Yes,
and they're
they
nice.
Do. Very professional. You'll love them.
Absolutely. So, again, if you want to listen online, wethepeopleradio.us, and just follow the prompts, and you can click and listen live. You can also join the chat room, so if you have questions, that's a great way to send them in if you have that capacity. So our guest today, and he's a very popular because he's a hard guy to pin down, his name is James Foley. I think we're just going to call him Jim, because unless he tells us we're not allowed to. And we just titled the show Miners Under Siege because, honestly, mining is like a lot of things, right? You take a small group of people doing something that a lot of people either have never done, which is a lot of people, or don't know anything about, and you make it sound like they're doing something bad, and then you... basically crush them.
Yeah, because we have a lot of open pit mines here in California.
Yeah, right.
We just got to put an end to them. That's the whole goal of the state of California is to shut down these pit miners that just tear up the landscape and leave it barren.
Yeah, that hasn't happened in about a zillion years.
Never.
So Jim is going to give us a lot of good information. He's a retired UCLA atmospheric research technician. He's been a gold miner since 1976. He's an avid outdoorsman, lived in Alaska for 44 years. It's always fun when you interview people you've known for a little bit. You learn a lot about them from their bio. I did not know that.
Yeah. Never told me that.
No. Since his retirement, he now resides in the small, far northern California community of Hamburg on the Klamath River. So that's where... that's where I've met him, is at meetings in Siskiyou County. So that is kind of how he got started in all of this, started gold mining and looking into all the crazy things that were happening. And I think we've got you on the phone, do we, Jim?
Yes, I am here.
Nice. So, okay, I won't read anymore because you can just tell us. It's your story. You can just tell it. So where do you want to start with the mining? Do you want to start with what's happening in California, or do you want some background, or we can go wherever you like?
Are we on the air?
We are.
Okay. I think probably the best place to start is to inform your listeners of what the discussion is going to be about today, and basically it's going to be about California's illegal legislation to shut down mining in California, specifically suction dredge mining, but it has increased to the point where you can't do any kind of mining. So the issue is about California's illegal ban on mining at this time.
And And we're not talking about like a giant operation where they're digging up, you know, tons of dirt and all that. We're talking about people who have a claim on a river or a stream who are working that claim and not disturbing much of anything.
Well, that is true, but I don't think that we should limit it in any way because the mining law is the mining law, and it applies to large and small.
True story.
Mm-hmm.
True story.
We're not going to be talking about open pit mining or large load mining operations other than to say that it is authorized by federal law. Every person in the United States is authorized to locate and to exploit the mineral estate grant of 1872.
Okay. Now, if you want to exploit that, you have to have the mineral rights on that property or a claim. Is that right?
That's true, and that's the location process. You go out and you put your feet on the ground and you use a gold pan or a sluice or whatever, and you locate some valuable minerals, at which point you establish a claim on them.
Now, can you establish, what property can you establish a claim on if you don't own it outright? Where could you establish a claim?
You can establish on a claim on any ground that is open to mineral entry, whether it be federal ground or state ground, but basically we're going to be talking about federal ground because that is most of what mining claims are based on today.
Okay.
And it does give you a property right. It is taxed as private property by counties and state governments, so you do have a law has been established that determines that you do have a valid property right once you establish a claim.
So prohibiting them from working these claims is essentially like stealing private property.
That's true. And, we could liken it to something that everybody can understand. If you go out and you get a job, but somebody decides they don't like you having that job, and they institute a law that says, well, you can't work. Because that's basically what this is about. Miners derive an income from their mining activities, and there are many miners that depend on mining for their sole income.
Right.
And since 2009, when we have been prohibited from suction dredge mining, these men and women have been prohibited from being employed, basically.
So if you go out and stake a claim, a legal claim on federal property,
It's public property.
Or correct.
It really is public property. Yeah. I can hear people out there going, stop saying federal property.
Right. So you established this legal claim. Who are you up against? Are you up against the federal government that is keeping you from working that claim or the state government?
Well, that's where we get where it gets real complicated, and I will get into that in time. But basically, the issue in California right now is state government.
Okay.
State government has implemented legislation through the legislature to prohibit mining, and that would include federal land.
And they can't do that under the 10th Amendment?
That's right. It is illegal for them to try to usurp the authority of the United States government, which grants citizens the right to mine. The state of California is saying they can, through their illegal moratorium, they can prohibit that mining. They can ban it. And they have done that through the state legislature.
Hmm. And do you have recourse through the federal court system to reverse that?
We do. We have been in court for many, many years. Miners have spent millions of dollars out of individual miners' pockets to support or defend against lawsuits by environmental interests and some tribal interests that seek to take our right away from us. And speaking of right, I think it's of paramount importance that we inform your listeners about the difference between a privilege and a right. a lot of people have a misconception about what a right is. They talk about rights that are not really rights.
For instance,
if you want to drive a vehicle, you have to get a driver's license. That's because it's a privilege that the state of California grants you, and they issue you a license to drive. That is a privilege. It's not a right. As it pertains to the mining law, because the federal government has granted this right to individuals, it is a congressional right that is bestowed upon miners. It is not at the discretion of government. It is not a privilege. And therefore, the real permit for mining is the 1872 mining law, that where Congress granted miners the right to mine. The state of California says, no, they can't do that even on federal land. And the whole premise is that miners kill fish, and this has been stated in numerous court cases and in numerous agency comment meetings. They will consistently state that miners kill fish and mining is detrimental to water quality. Both assertions are false and have been proven so in courts as well as in numerous scientific studies.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jim. We have to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the effect of, say, a sluice-type or suction dredging operation in a stream or a river and the impact it has on the fish. Because I think you're right. People do have a total misconception or have no idea what that actually does to the stream. So we'll come back in just a second with that.
We'll be back in just a couple of seconds. We're talking to Jim Foley. He is our guest today. We're speaking about mining. For those of you who don't know anything about it, I really hope you listen. Send the program to your friends, because these are people who are getting railroaded, and just due to lack of information, people don't support them. Now that's all we can do is walk in fields of gold and look at it. Can't touch it. Do not pick it up. It's up with that.
That's right.
So our guest today is James Foley. He hails out of Siskiyou County, and through how life takes you in different places, he said in 1998 his gold mining activities inadvertently led him into the realm of becoming a private property and mining rights advocate for miners and natural resource users nationwide. And it's interesting, I was at a public meeting a couple of weeks ago, and Jim was one of the final speakers in the public comment period, and I can't tell you how many people came. Who was that guy? Who was that man? And I thought, okay, we got to get him on the radio. Jim, you're very popular when you go speak at public meetings. I'm guessing that's not the first time that happened, and that's sort of how you got roped into all this.
So Jim, we were talking about sluicing and suction dredging and the impact it has on the fish, which seems to be the big trigger word nowadays. If you kill a fish, you are like the worst type of human being. So talk to us a little bit about what the effect to the river and stream beds are when we talk about suction dredging.
Okay, that's a good point to start with. First of all, our opponents will always assert that we kill fish, and yet there has never been an authenticated instance of anyone that can show where a suction dredge miner has ever killed one fish. And that gets us back to this idea of a right versus a privilege. And I don't, I am not in any way trying to pit natural resources users against each other, but by way of comparison and to show you how ridiculous this assertion is, there are, at when suction dredge miners were allowed to buy permits, there were about 3,000 permits a year issued to, for suction dredge mining in the state of California. The Karuk Tribe of California, on their website at one time, they did a survey to survey how many of their tribal members harvested fish and what kind of fish they harvested. At that time, they found that among their members, 30% of their members did harvest threatened coho salmon. So when you take 3,000 permits issued to miners into, and then contrast it with over 3 million fishing permits issued by the state of California every year, and it may sound kind of radical, but the suction dredge miners have never killed a fish, as they have said, and yet the state of California, because of their paranoia about hurting fish, they will issue 3 million permits for fishermen to kill fish. Now, I know that sounds kind of radical, but I'm sorry, that's what fishermen do.
Sure.
They kill fish.
Well, they also line the pockets.
They'll permit an activity for 3 million people that they will not allow for 3,000.
Well, they aren't going to walk away from the money that fishing licenses add to their coffers every year. I mean, if you go down and try to buy a fishing license, it's like $50 now for 1 year, which is so ridiculous. I mean, I think it's probably stopped a lot of folks from even fishing. But you're right; they'll take that money and allow you to go out and collect salmon or trout or steelhead or whatever. But you guys are not allowed to participate in an activity that's never shown to damage the fish. In fact, doesn't suction dredging?
Well, and before you skip over that, the tribal requirement for fish count is done by the tribe.
Yeah, they self-regulate.
And
they're very honest about that. But doesn't suction dredging impact the actual stream bed? I mean, you're sucking gravel up off the bottom and then you're spitting it back out again. What's the end product of that?
Good question. And I have numerous studies in my computer at home that show, one of them states emphatically that they are not saying that suction dredging has no impact on the stream. But what they do say is, if there is any impact at all, it is so small that it is unmeasurable.
Okay.
Wow, because how big is the nozzle that's actually sucking material up off the bottom approximately? Isn't it like 4 inches or something across?
Well, basically, it's an underwater vacuum cleaner.
Sure.
It sets on a set of floats. It floats in the river. It has an engine and a pump about the size of a lawnmower engine. And it sucks gravel from the stream bed and flows it over its loose box, which separates out the heavy metals like gold and silver and platinum.
Don't forget mercury.
Right. It will catch mercury, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury is very heavy.
And that doesn't go back into the stream, though, does it?
Depends on who you talk to. A suction dredge miner will tell you that he catches it, and yet the State Water Resources Control Board did a study back a few years ago. Actually, it wasn't a study. It was a test. And they tested in a known mercury hotspot, and they determined that the suction dredge redeposited 2% of the mercury that ran through the box. That means it retained 98%.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this test, they concluded that suction dredge mining is a threat because of the resuspension of mercury, which is totally untrue because the specific gravity of mercury does not change with size.
Right.
Whether it's small droplets or what they call flowered mercury, the specific gravity remains the same, and when it runs, if it runs off the end of a sluice box, it drops right back down immediately. It doesn't flow downstream like they think it does.
Yeah, because it's so much heavier than everything else in the stream, so it's going to go right straight back. Now, what about the actual stream bed and the gravel? It sounds like maybe it the end result is actually a cleaner, better spawning bed for fish than it was before you sucked all the fine deposits out. That's very true.
And numerous studies have cited that, where they have studied it from Alaska down through Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and even California. The suction dredge will break up what is called compacted material. It's almost like cement. And it cleans the sediments out of it and redeposits it basically in the same exact place that it was taken from, and it makes excellent spawning material.
Hmm. It also removes lures and weights and things that fishermen would leave in the river. And I know I've heard from many miners that they have hundreds of pounds of stuff they've hauled out of the river over the years.
You're talking about sand and gravel mining and things like that?
No, I mean through their suction dredges, they pick up, the weights, the fishing weights, and trash, basically. Trash
yes.
That's left in the river.
Yes, suction dredgers really are very environmentally friendly. We do salvage all of that trash, like fishing weights and even car batteries and flashlight batteries and things of that nature.
Wow.
And we take them out of the river.
Huh.
I've also heard.
And it doesn't cost the state anything. We do it for free.
Sure. Wow. And the other thing, too, is I think anybody who's even had a goldfish, I mean, maybe they've never mined, they don't know anything about it, but if you have a goldfish, everybody knows when you go to clean the bowl and you stir up the little rocks on the bottom and all the crap the fish couldn't get to, the old pieces of food and all that, when all that stuff comes up, the fish go after it. I've heard from many miners that when the material goes out the back of their dredge, that the fish collect there because it's great feeding.
They most certainly do, and most miners, suction dredge miners, can tell you that they routinely see fish. When you start up the dredge, it's like an attractant. The environmentalist will tell you that the fish will avoid that and that they can't get up the river past it because it's an obstruction and it's unnatural. But the fact of the matter is that you're creating food for those fish, and those fish know it, and they seek out those dredge plumes. I've seen them right off the end of my sluice box just waiting for some tasty morsel to come out of them.
I mean, they couldn't get down into the rocks that far, but you're pulling the material up. And the only stuff that's getting removed is either garbage or a valuable material, but the rest of the material is just literally being picked up and put down. So
that's true.
So it's not being, when they say suction dredging, I mean...
Yeah, it sounds like you're digging a big hole.
Yeah, it just sounds so... But it's really just a float with a vacuum nozzle, and the material goes up. It doesn't go through a motor, so if a fish goes in the nozzle, he just kind of flies through the system and comes out the back.
That's right. It doesn't go through a pump or anything like that. The pump actually pushes water, and it is a Venturi effect that causes suction at the nozzle. So even if, on the outside chance, a fish could get sucked into the nozzle, he would flow up the hose and out the sluice box and back in the river again. Matter of fact, tests have been done with things as fragile as tomatoes and hot dogs and things of that nature, and they run them through the dredge with absolutely no harm at all.
It with all of our natural resource issues these days, it seems that it's all about disinformation and lack of knowledge, and by all means, let's focus on the smallest group of people who don't have the ability to put up a massive defense. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to be back with our guest, James Foley. We hope you'll stick with us. This is a topic that, you know, even if it doesn't affect you personally, it's like everything else we do, it's coming for you next. You know, you crush one group, then they just move on to the next one.
Yeah, go out there and try to pan for gold someplace and watch how fast somebody comes down.
So California Water Board seems to think they own all the water, so public land is no longer public. And if you own private property, like a mining claim, well, it's no longer your property because the state can come in and get it.
But you got to pay your taxes.
Exactly. Well, yeah, on the claim, which is really nice. You have a house, but you can't live in it. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Prohibit that next. No singing.
Yeah.
Turn your music into gold.
Mm. Yeah, they're not singing about it.
All right. So, you okay, Jim? We're back with our guest, Jim. What's that?
I'm still here.
It sounded like a giant sneeze. So, As far as the suction dredging, give me an idea. Like, when you go into communities up here in Northern California, you have any idea how many people up here participate in that? I mean, it's a pretty limited section of the public, isn't it?
I don't think I understood what you asked.
Like, as far as people participating in suction dredge mining, is it? It's not a lot of people, right? It's a pretty limited group of people.
Yes, we are small in number compared to other natural resource users like fishermen and logging and things of that nature. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a hard time overcoming these problems.
Tell me this. When did, and is this happening in other states? Or are we?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Oregon, because of what California has done, Oregon has also completely banned mining.
Interesting. Same sort of. And so how do they reconcile, or where do you see it going? I've posted on here the Pacific Legal Foundation asks the Supreme Court to review the challenge to the California mining ban. So
that's right. That's the Brandon Reinhart case. He was convicted of suction dredging without a permit in the Plumas County Superior Court. It went to an appeal court, which reversed the decision. The state appealed that to the California State Supreme Court, who held with the first conviction. So now Pacific Legal Foundation has petitioned the Supreme Court to take this case, the Supreme Court of the United States. And I would tell you that when they did that, the Obama administration dispatched the U.S. Department of Justice to advise the Supreme Court that the United States of America does not object to state law-based mining prohibitions. That is absolutely illegal.
Yeah.
This is a right. And, you know, the power of the mining right, the property right, is that it is, well, show your listeners a radical example, this is a right on the scale of the freedom of speech or the freedom of the press or the freedom of religion. It is established law, and yet these people will come along and try to take that away from you, will try to ban established federal law. It's not possible. It's like someone saying, you do not have the right of free speech.
Yeah, and that's becoming an issue. It's been an issue in California for a long time, but the ability of states to override federal law has just been totally allowed for so long. We really do need to get back to the rule of law, don't we?
Well, and it's constitutional law in many cases.
Exactly.
You know, the state sort of thinks they trump the Constitution.
It does. We don't want to confuse Congress with the Constitution, though. The Constitution does not give us the right to mine, but the Congress of the United States does,
yes,
with a very specific law. So this all flies in the face of established law and seeks to go around the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which affirms that the federal law is the supreme law of the land and overrides any state or agency regulations that seek to usurp federal authority.
Right, and that's what we're not enforcing. We're allowing states,
sure,
to
look at the
trump the federal law, and the feds just stand back and go, okay, well, we're not going to enforce it. Well, you can't do that. I mean, where does that end? Where do you draw the line on that exactly before you have total chaos?
We've been very frustrated in this respect, in that we are such a small group in numbers that we don't have a lot of political clout. But I have recently formulated a letter for the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to send to the Department of Interior. The Department of Interior is the agency that is charged with protecting and defending the mining law under that was granted to us by Congress. And the new head of Department of Interior is Ryan Zinke, and I formulated a letter to him for the supervisors to send, specifically asking for the Department of Interior help in defense of the mining law for miners.
And how do you, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you feel about Zinke and his ability to go back and start enforcing the federal statutes over the state laws? Do you think this is going to turn things around a little bit for you?
Well, I'm possibly an eternal optimist, and quite often I get shot down in that respect, but the reality of the situation is that this is the agency, and he is the head of the agency that's responsible for protecting the law that they have implemented. If he follows the law, he cannot possibly sit back and do nothing. He must defend it.
Right. And I think with our new Department of Justice, hopefully, we'll start enforcing some of these federal laws that have just kind of got thrown in the garbage.
Hopefully we'll put the justice back in the Department of Justice.
Exactly.
Be a new idea. Jim, I was going to ask you, we've got the link on the website for the comment for the water board. And I just wanted, before we, you know, wherever you want to fit it in, but I want to make sure that we give people the tools to comment on that, even if they are not personally affected, because you guys really need all the support you can get. And I don't know how we want to do that or how you would like to do it, but I know that your comments at the water board were really, really useful, I guess. And I think people could use that information to make comment, even if they're not suction dredge miners themselves.
Yes, I can help you with that. I can send you an email with my comments and also the URL, internet address, for the general public to comment on this issue.
Yeah, that
and anyone can comment. You don't have to be a minor.
See, I think that was kind of what we were thinking after the meeting when I spoke with you, is if we could get this out to people prior to the comment period and they could hear from enough folks. Because, you know, the environmental community doesn't even show up at these meetings, it seems. They don't need to because it's kind of like they have it in the bag already.
Well, they have worked in the background for so long and done these backdoor illegal deals that they know how to get it done. They have the money behind them, and they just work behind the scenes and all of a sudden spring this stuff on you. For instance, the ban that they instituted on suction dredge mining in 2009 was done behind closed doors. They got the ear of a legislator named Lois Walk to write this moratorium. So it was supposed to be a temporary moratorium, but that morphed into a permanent ban. So they worked behind the scenes with the legislators, and it was mid-season of the actual dredging season when all of a sudden we were informed by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, this is illegal, you can no longer do it, you must remove your equipment.
And that's federal, correct?
No, that was state.
Okay, so this, again, the state has stepped over the top of federal law and implemented their own regulations.
Exactly.
On public land.
On public land.
Which is a neat trick. Maybe you could give, I don't know if we have time necessarily. Do we need to take a quick, we have to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. But I just want people to understand, I'd like you to give some of the numbers, if you can, on the mercury when we come back. I don't think people realize the whole mercury thing, what a red herring it is. And we start hearing how much the miners have taken out of the river and all that.
Yes, I would like to speak to that, and also one short comment on water and water quality when we come back.
Perfect. I'll make a list. Otherwise, we'll talk about something else. So we'll be right back with our guest, Jim Foley.
Okay.
We are discussing mining regulation, and in the state of California in particular, the ban on suction dredge mining.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
Oh, fish full of mercury. All right, Jim, go directly to mercury. Why is mercury in the river in the first place, and how does suction dredge mining affect it? How's that?
Ruh-roh.
Lost him.
Was that a question for me?
Yeah, because we don't know the answer.
All right. Information you get will say that mercury is in the water from historic mining activities that they used mercury in their sluice boxes to recover gold. And this was on a very large scale. And that is true in some cases. But I'd also like to point out that mercury is a naturally occurring substance in the form of cinnabar. When we have these giant forest fires that we experience in California, that has the capacity to turn a cinnabar deposit into elemental mercury, which is heavy and flows downhill and eventually ends up in the waterways.
Is there anything out there right now, either by the states, by the feds, private industry, is anybody out there directly trying to clean mercury up out of the streams and river? I mean, are they targeting mercury?
What an ironic question. Yes, suction dredge miners, when they are allowed to, recover mercury at no cost to the government whatsoever. I would point out that something that the agencies and the state are completely unaware or ignorant of, and that is that mercury is a locatable mineral, and miners are authorized by the mining law to harvest mercury. It's a locatable mineral, just like gold.
Wow.
The other thing that I would point out is that the very factions are our antagonists or opponents or whatever you want to call them, have used this mercury issue to their own advantage. Right now, the Sierra Fund has garnered a multi-million dollar grant from the state of California to recover mercury in the Combi Reservoir, of which they have recovered a minuscule amount of mercury. I can't remember the exact amount, but it's not even ounces. And wow. They've been paid millions of dollars to do it using a method that the state banned suction dredge miners from doing for no cost to the state.
So they're basically suction dredging mercury at our expense, but they won't allow miners to suction dredge
at their own expense.
Mercury at their own expense
to benefit the public.
To benefit the public. That makes a lot of sense.
So they get a multi-million dollar grant to do this, and they are allowed to keep the gold that they harvest along with the mercury.
Of course they are.
It's like a byproduct, you know. They just get to keep it.
Oh, nice. So you go after the gold and the mercury's a byproduct. They go after the mercury and the gold's a byproduct. So how much mercury, do you have the numbers as to how much mercury is collected or sold back or removed from streams and rivers prior to the suction dredge ban?
I don't have that information at hand, but there is information available from the state of California and from the water boards, because they had at one time set up mercury collection centers where miners could bring the mercury that they collected, and matter of fact, any householder could bring mercury from their old thermometers and things of that nature. They discontinued that program.
And what is mercury valuable?
Yes, it's fairly valuable. I can't tell you the exact amount, but it can be sold.
So it is something that has a commercial value. And
yes.
Okay, all right.
And people were just turning it in, and I'm sorry I didn't write down the numbers at that meeting. Somebody did give those numbers, and they were gigantic. I was shocked at the numbers.
At how much is being turned in?
Sure, at how much people had turned in over the years, but of course now they are... they're banned from dredging.
Is there no place to turn it in now that they've gotten rid of the suction dredging? Do they still have mercury collection points?
No, they don't, and they discontinued that program before suction dredging was mined.
So what do? You just flush it down the toilet now?
I guess so.
I mean,
they cited, I can't remember the phrase that they used, but they were afraid of it. They were afraid of the responsibility of collecting what they called a hazardous substance.
But they'll put it in the light bulbs, and they'll put it in the thermometers,
and the batteries,
and leave it in the hands of Joe Public to deal with when he breaks a thermometer or whatever. You got to. Handful of mercury, I guess you're just supposed to throw it in the trash and put
it back in the
ground.
Yeah, so now it all goes into our landfills.
Exactly.
Right, which is fantastic.
That's wonderful.
I would like to very quickly speak to the issue of water before we run out of time.
Well, we're out of time for this hour. We're out of time right now, but we'll come right back and pick up with that.
Because you're still our hostage.
Yeah, we definitely want to cover that.
Just in case you thought you were going to run away. But you do have 5 minutes for news, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about water quality and a bunch of other good stuff. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Stay tuned for hour two of We the People, next on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.